Okay, so we are now a bit ahead of the schedule, but let's start with the academic practices, and maybe we'll go to lunch a bit earlier than is said in the program. Okay. So here is the contents of what I'm going to tell you. So this is what we mean by academic practices. How to plan your studies, how to register for courses, then what kind of modes of study we have, what kind of exams do we have, assessment and grades, and then the general academic atmosphere and whom to contact if you have questions. And first, just as a starter, I asked current students, or maybe some of them were also new students who have already been to some courses, about what is different between the country where they studied before and the University of Jyväskylä of Finland. What is the difference, what kind of differences there are in studying? And this is a very common comment that I've heard many times. I think this maybe was a Russian student who said that in Finland you're very much responsible for your own studies and organizing and planning what to do and when. So this is kind of twofold. It gives you, in one way, you have to have more responsibility and kind of self-management. But then on the other hand, it's more flexible and you have more possibilities. Then this is also something that I hear often, that the hierarchy is very low between students and staff or professors, for example, compared to many other countries. So this is very new to or different to many students. I think this was a German student who gave this comment. And then also someone said that it's not so serious here, that you can joke with the teacher and it's not so formal usually. Of course, everything, it also depends on person and the teacher, but this is the main, the atmosphere is quite relaxed usually. Okay, well then this is the academic calendar of the current academic year. We have 5 periods, but the 5th one is not all faculties or programs have teaching during the 5th period. So that's a bit, you can check that with your program. And then there's the Easter break, when there is no teaching, usually, in April this year. One mention about the periods, that it is possible that one course can last for the whole semester or it can last only for one period. It depends on faculty and on the course. And there are it's very exceptional, but it's possible also that the one course takes the whole year. And then there are dates when the university is closed. And then all of you will make a personal study plan. We call it HOPS in Finnish. And it's made, the students who start now this autumn are doing this in a different system than before. The system is called SISU. It's a kind of online platform where you will plan your studies and save the plan in this system. And you will have help from the staff of your program or faculty for doing this. And usually you should plan to have at least 30 ECTS credits per one semester. And here too, the thing that was mentioned in the beginning applies, that it is very, well, you have the compulsory studies that you have to do, but otherwise you can quite freely plan what kind of optional studies you want and when you want to do them. And so this is different from many countries, that you are not given a kind of timetable that here are your courses, but you plan your timetable yourself, and also you can plan what kind of optional studies you want to do. Well, so then how can you choose? How do you know what courses you can choose? You will have help for this when planning your study plan from your program. In addition to the courses in your own program, you can usually take other courses in your own faculty or department, and then you can do minor subjects from other faculties also. Usually they are, what's happening now? Usually they are, the minors, most of them are free, which means that you can just choose them. But there are some that require, that there are some entry requirements to some minor subjects. Then we have the University Language Center, which you will have an info on that later during this week. And they have courses in Finnish, but also in many other languages. And when we have this Korppi course registration system, which I'm going to show you soon, and in Korppi you can see the language of instruction of each course. So please pay attention to this, that you choose courses that are taught in English if you don't know Finnish. Then there is just this kind of workload. So one credit equals to 27 hours of work, but it depends on the course how much you actually do, but this is the kind of the way it should be. And everything you do for the course is counted into this this time. Okay, then about registering to courses. Is there someone who hasn't visited Korppi yet? Yeah, so you can also, without logging in, you can see course information in Korppi, but other you cannot do anything else but see course descriptions if you are not logged in. But if you're logged in, then you can, for example, register to courses and exams. And you can see your unofficial transcript of records, the courses you have completed so far, and the credits for them. And you can use Korppi in Finnish or in English. And here's the what to do if there is a problem with Korppi. I will show you now how it looks. So this says, just a minute. But if you don't log in, you can see this course search, and then you can put here the course code or the name of the course, for example. And then here you have information on the course, when it begins and ends, when is the registration period, the teachers. And this is important because sometimes it is with some faculties, it is possible that the course description might be in English, but still the course is in Finnish. So check the language of instruction. Okay, well then, sorry. So here are important things to notice when you're registering to courses and for courses and exams in Korppi. So you have to register within the registration deadline. There's not only one registration deadline for one semester, for example. It depends on the course when the course is organized and when is the registration period also. And also, I will show you the example soon, but you may have to register separately to the course and then to the exam that is organized for the course, and sometimes some other groups, demos or something. But but these are always on the same, or at least almost always on the same page where the cost description is. And when you are registering for the course, please see if there are some prerequisites, like that, for example, that you have to have done this and this course before you can register for this course. I will tell you more about the level of the course shortly. And then sometimes, even if you have registered, then you are asked, if you, for example, register well in advance of the registration deadline, then you may have to confirm your registration, for example, a week before the registration deadline ends. But you will receive an email about this. But if you don't confirm, then it may be that your registration will be cancelled. And if there is a course, if some course is full, you can see that from Korppi also, then you can still ask that you can register and then see if you are, when you are on the waiting list, you can ask the teacher if it's possible to get in, or you can go to the first lecture but to see if there are places. But this also depends on the faculty. So there are different practices in different faculties, but you can always ask the teacher, because the contact information of the teacher is also in, or the email address is in, the course description. And if you decide not to take a course, then please cancel so that someone else can register in your place.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Does that sort of work, saying that the registration deadline is already passed? Can you do like the same thing with the course description?
Yeah. So if the registration deadline is already has passed and you want to take the course, you can ask the teacher if it's still possible to register afterwards. This also depends on the faculty. Sometimes it's not possible, maybe also on the teacher sometimes. But you can ask the teacher. I will show you this example now. So now if I would be logged in, I could register first for the course, and then I could, here are also the places and times of the lectures, and then I could register for one of these groups, and there could also be an exam here so that I could also register for the exam. But if there are different things that you can register to, so, for example, yeah. Did someone have a question? Yeah.
Sorry. For the schedule down there that you just showed, is it possible to export that whole in bulk to your calendar?
Yes, it is. I don't actually know how to do it because I'm not a student, but maybe some tutors can tell, because there is also a calendar in this Korppi system. And isn't it so that you can, when you register for a course, then you can have these lectures show in your calendar. Yeah. You can ask your tutor how to do that in practice. Yeah, so for example, in this case, you have to register both for the course and for one of these groups. Yeah, so then when you are planning your own schedules and choosing your optional studies, then there may be overlapping. So you have to plan your schedule so that preferably there are no overlapping courses. And this calendar in Korppi can help you with that. Then usually it is important to go on the first lecture, because usually there's a lot of important information there. Welcome. And this academic quarter of an hour means that usually all lectures or meetings start at 15 past something. Usually it is also said in the schedule, but sometimes if you go somewhere and no one is there, then maybe it's because they will come 15 past. Usually Finns are very punctual, but this is a kind of feature of the academic culture, that the academic quarter means that things often start 15 past. Then there are also in different on different courses there are different requirements for whether you're required to attend, for example, 100% of the lectures, or if there's some 80% that you have to be attending, or sometimes there is no requirement like this. So it depends on the course. And often this is also mentioned in Korppi, but if not, then on the first lecture you will hear about this. There are very different sizes of classes or lectures. It can be a small group work, or it can be a big lecture. So this vary a lot. Usually in master studies, the groups are smaller than in bachelor studies. And also there are different kinds of teaching methods and assignments, which I'm going to tell more about soon. Well, yeah, this is about, I mentioned before, that the level of studies. So when the course code that we have in Korppi, for example, they have this kind of logic that the first three digits are the subject in Finnish, so the subject of the course. But then the fourth one, from that one you can see what kind of level it is. So P and A are bachelor, S is master, and J is doctoral level course. Any questions so far? Okay. Okay, well then, different kinds of modes of study. And as I said, I've said many times that these many things depend on the program and on the specific course. So there are also many very different practices in different faculties. But there are different, these kinds of modes of study are possible on the courses. Mostly it's lectures, that's the most common one, and also exams. Then there are some demonstration classes in some subjects. Group work, presentations, sometimes independent study options. For example, it's possible that one course is only independent study, but this is not very common. I will tell later about different kinds of exams. And then different kinds of written assignments like essays, reports, learning diaries. And you will be given information on, for example, if you're asked to do a learning diary, you will be given instructions on how to do that. And if it would happen on some course that you don't get instructions, then please ask from the teacher that what does this mean and what do I have to do. In some programs there are internships also, and then possibly conference participation in international conferences in Finland or other countries. Well, and this is one thing that we often encounter with international students, that the conventions of academic writing can be a bit different in different countries. And this is also something that you should get instructions on from your teachers, but if not, then please ask for it. And then, like I said before, Finns are usually very punctual, and if there is a deadline, then you have to stick to that. And also, if you are told, for example, that this assignment should be this and this many words or this so many pages, then take that into account, because usually we are quite strict about these kind of things. And about this, for example, this referencing, I know in some countries, a university student is not expected to tell his or her own ideas, for example, in an essay. The point is that you should, in some countries, you should just tell what some researchers have thought about a topic, but usually in Finland, we think that first you tell what some researchers have found out, and then you tell your own ideas, or you somehow apply the knowledge you have learned from the books to practice, or somehow you put your own thinking usually into the assignments. Even though I know that in some countries it is almost forbidden to have your own ideas in your assignments, but we usually the teachers want you to hear what you think about this, or how you apply the theories, for example, that you study. Well, then here is something about academic fraud and what it means. This is also something that we are very strict about. And there is not so much cheating, I think, here than might be in some other places. So we are, the university very strictly wants to prevent all kind of cheating. And also this copying of other person's work. This might also have to do with the different type kind of reference techniques. So when you borrow someone else's text, you have to be very clear that this is from this and this person, from this book, from this and these pages. Because sometimes it can happen that even though you don't mean to do anything wrong, it can be seen as wrong here if you don't state very clearly where this idea came from. Here is the link to the university code of conduct for preventing academic fraud. I can quickly show you. So it has this kind of content. So when we put this these slides on our website, you can go and see more. Okay, well then about exams. Here are different types of exams: lecture, book exam, general, and e-exam. And again, there are also differences between faculties on what kind of exams they usually organize. So lecture exam means that at the end of the last lecture, often then you can have the exam. So it's kind of, you don't, yeah, it says here separate registration. You might still have to separately register for the exam, even if it's at the end of the lectures. And usually, there is always a retake, but it is very much, it is also in your own interest to try to go to the first lecture, because, for example, the first exam, because, for example, if you fail, then you can go to the retake one. But if you don't go to the first one and you go to the retake, and then you might have difficulties having another try if you want one. Yeah. Usually two, and then if you still need one, you need to discuss with the teacher. But usually. Usually the faculty is organized to resits, but the timing depends. Sometimes, you know, they don't. It may be that the schedule doesn't fit your own schedule, so you cannot do them whenever you want. but otherwise, yeah, that also depends. I'm going to tell you more about the e-exam later. Yes, well then, book exam. There are two types of book exam. It can be a part of a lecture exam, lecture course, or other type of course with contact teaching, Or it can be an independent study option where there's nothing else but you just read the book or books on your own and then take the exam. It depends on, again, some programs don't have even these independent study or independent exams, but it depends. Then there are usually general examination days of the faculty. When there are many different exams you can take during that day. And you have to register always before. Usually for exams, if you don't register within the registration deadline, then usually you cannot register for them anymore afterwards. So it is more strict with registration to exams is more strict than registering to courses. And some faculties, like the business school, they have exam days on every Friday, almost every Friday. And there it's always announced on their website which exams you can do during that certain Friday. And again, you can usually register for these exams in Korppi. And also cancel if you're not going to the exam after all. Well, then what happens on this kind of general exam day, which is not at the end of a lecture? Be on time, first of all. And then usually your name will be called. This also depends on the faculty again. And then you will be given the papers, the questions and the answer paper. And you cannot look at them before you get the permission. And then for 30 minutes, starting from when they announce that now the exam starts, you cannot leave before 30 minutes has passed. And if someone arrives late, they can be let in as long as no one else has yet left the room. So if you're 30 minutes late, then you can usually get in. But after that, if someone already left the room, then you cannot go in anymore. Well, then here's some quite some other information. So this also is to prevent cheating, that you have to leave your things. You cannot take your things with you to where you're sitting in the room. And this no talking is very important, because especially for, we have had problems with some international students that no talking really means no talking. You cannot ask someone that what time is it or something like this, because it will be considered cheating, because the person who is supervising does not know what you are saying to the other person. So don't say anything during the exam to anyone. If you have a question to the supervisor, you can raise your hand. And also you have to have your ID with you so that we know that it is the correct person who is taking the exam. And then on some courses it is possible to do an e-exam, but this does not mean that you can do it at home. We have a few rooms for e-exams at the university, in the main library and in the X building. The main library will be under renovation soon, so I'm not actually sure where the other e-exam room will be. But there's this online system for registering to these exams. And then you will have to book a certain time when you will go to the exam room to do the exam. And sometimes these rooms are already booked, so it's a good idea to register well in advance. And here is also about what you already asked, that there's usually a possibility to for two retakes. But then if you miss two exams, then you have to discuss with the teacher if you have the possibility to retake the exam again. Yes, and this is one thing that usually students here don't, if they don't want to, they don't need to usually buy any books, for example, because most of the course books are in the university library. But if it's a very popular course, then of course there are many books, but of the same book. But anyway, when you register for an exam, make sure that you have the book when you need it. There are of course many online materials, but also many times it is really a book that you have to borrow or buy. Are there any questions about exams or anything else that I mentioned so far? Well, you can interrupt any time if you have a question. Did you have a question? No. No. Okay. Well, then about assessment of your coursework. It says in the university regulations that after an exam or when there is the deadline to submit an assignment, the teacher has 2 weeks to correct it and give the grade to the student. And if in some case it takes longer than 2 weeks for the teacher, then you can either contact the teacher or for example someone else in your program to ask that why is it taking longer than 2 weeks for me to get the result. Okay, here is the grading scale of the university. It is the common European ECTS grading scale, which is used in most European universities. So 5 is the best one, and 1 is the lowest one, and then there's also fail. So I know this is the other way around than in some countries. Also, there are some courses that are only graded pass or fail, but not so many of those. Yeah, we have had many. For example, if someone is going to their home country for the summer, for example, and then they already leave before, if they need a retake, for example, of an exam, and then it might be problematic to find a suitable time afterwards. Then we are not using this kind of, I don't know if it's really called normal distribution, but anyway, we don't have any of this kind of information that so and so many percent of students in this class had this number or something, or this grade. So we don't have any of this kind of scales. Yeah, and then also grades and credits don't have a connection as they do in some other places. So credits have to do only with the workload of the course, and grades have to do with how well you do on the course. And this, that students are not compared, that means that we don't have this information that how many percent of students on a course had what kind of grade. You can find the results in Korppi. Actually, again, I could ask the tutors if this still applies in Korppi, because they made some changes that you can still order the information to your email whenever you get a new grade in your transcript, that then you can order to have that information by email. Yeah. So you can also, your tutors can help you with that also if you don't know how to find this place in Korppi where you can order to have information sent to you by email whenever you have a new grade. Then, as I mentioned before, you can see your unofficial transcript of records in Korppi, and it includes all the courses you have completed so far in this university, and the credits you got for them and the grades. But our transcript does not include the courses that you failed or that you started to do but didn't finish. This information is not on our transcript. And also if you, for example, if you take an exam and then you want to take the same exam again to have a better grade, then the best grade you got for that course is visible on the transcript, not the other tries that you had. And then if you need an official transcript, you can get it from the student services, and here's a link to the form, online form, with which you can order the official transcript. And you can need it, for example, if you have a residence permit and you need to renew it after 1 year, then you need the official transcript for that, and you can get it from the student services. Well, then a bit more about the academic atmosphere, which was already, we talked about that a bit in the beginning, where the current students were giving their experiences on this. And here's also the main website of the university, where you can find the contacts. I can show you one thing. I guess now when the semester is starting, a lot of people are visiting our website, so it's a bit slow sometimes. But if you're now on the main website and you go to contact information here, then you can find the contact information. It doesn't have the title in English, but otherwise, you have the contact information anyway, from here. This should have the contact information of all the staff at the university. And like I mentioned before, we have quite informal student-teacher relationships. And also, Finns usually use this kind of direct communication style. And usually students call the teachers and professors by their first name, and no titles are used, which may be even difficult to some of you to get used to. Yeah, and we are very casual also with dressing or clothes. Then usually there's course feedback is collected at the end of each course. And please give feedback, even though it might feel a bit tiring to do that after each course, but please do, because they really, the courses will be developed based on your feedback. Then if the staff members have announced that they have some kind of appointment hours, for example, that this professor you can meet on Tuesdays at from 2 to 3, then please try to meet them during these times. So it doesn't mean, even though it's casual, but it doesn't mean that you can just pop in anytime. For example, to student services or admission services, you can pop in anytime, but with the academic staff, it's better to book a time. Yes, well then, I think usually email, this is actually my colleague who has written this. So I think you can contact anyone by email, and then if you don't get a reply, then you can ask from someone else. But usually everyone replies their email. Then this is also something that, for example, in the admission services or student services where very many students send emails, then sometimes we have to send many emails back and forth because the student doesn't say who he or she is and what exactly is the... If someone just sends an email that, hi, I need this and this, then we need to know who are you and in which program and what do you actually want. And also, if you use a different name than the one that is in our register, then we don't necessarily know who you are. Yeah, sometimes there are, for example, the student services, they sometimes have hundreds and hundreds of email per day, so they don't necessarily answer the same day or even the next day. So sometimes it takes a bit of patience. Like I said before, in the beginning, you, of course, practical things you can ask from your tutor, but then things to do with studies, it's good to ask your program staff, usually first. And also, if it's some course-specific question, you can ask the teacher. Then International Office takes care of the Friendship Family Program and helps with housing of students, for example. Also check the website of the university if you're looking for some information, and then your peers, of course. And this was also mentioned in the comments of current students that there is a lot of freedom in your studies, but also this means responsibility, that you have to plan and take responsibility of your own studies a lot. But also, it doesn't mean that you have to figure out everything on your own, so you can always ask if something is unclear. Well, then, here's also a link to the degree regulations of the university. I'm not going to show it now, but you can go and see if you like. There are rights and responsibilities and duties of students and staff also mentioned there. For example, this thing that I mentioned, that you should receive the result of your exams or assignments in 2 weeks. It is mentioned here, for example. Then there are different mailing lists that it's good to join if you want information on what's going on in English at the university. So the first one is international degree students. This FS News, there are also exchange students on that list, so it might have some information that is not so relevant to you, but it has more information about, for example, events. And the first one has more information about things to do with studies. Then the faculty or department makes different lists about their students so that you don't need to join those, but you will automatically be on those lists. And then on Facebook, if you're using Facebook, we have different groups that you can join. This IDESCO is the international degree student community of the university. And ESN is the Erasmus Student Network, but also degree students can join. They have a lot of different events. Okay, so do you have any more questions? No more questions. Okay, well then, thank you. We can go to lunch a bit early. And again, I would like to wish you all very welcome and ask if you have any questions. Thank you.